You guys might know that I was into rap music. Wait, I still am. There was this song that these guys were singing, and I just kept hearing these lyrics over and over again. And it was basically goes like this. I'm Aaron Day with the mic, and he got the beat. I got four holes in my shirt, but my soul's complete. Like, there's life that's a mess, but our souls are complete. We're going to talk about that today in a deep way. But we're all kind of like Forrest Gump. We're running with a limp, but we run regardless. I want to ask you to consider, when we look at some of the last moments before Jesus gets beamed up like Scotty, where he's resurrected, and we're like, oh man, but that's like next, what, 2 weeks from now, so we can't do that. Yeah, we're going to talk about it a bunch between now and then, but we're hitting it up pretty hard that he lives. And I want to ask you to hang in there with me. I want to ask you to participate as you're being led. I want you to know that I don't think that I have some corner on the market on God's word. We have this chance together. Last thing before we get right into it, my wife has a tendency to clean up after others. Anybody understand that dynamic, that it wasn't your mess, but you still clean it up? Is there like a, okay, mama, all right. Is there a feeling in you that that's not fair? I get it. Why isn't it fair?
Because we're tired.
Good. So if you had more energy, it would be fine? Because it's not our mess. I know that's some low-hanging fruit, but the reality is, it's not our mess. Jesus cleaned up not his mess. He died for not his mess, but for ours. If you will you join me in asking this question that God asked Ezekiel? We talked about it a few weeks back. Can these bones live? You think about that for a second. Skeleton. But not just a skeleton, a whole valley filled with skeletons. Dry bones. They'd have the sun bleach them white. Well, I thought bones are already white. They don't start out that color. They become that. And check it out. God brings Ezekiel. And you guys join me in there, will you? Ezekiel 37. God brings Ezekiel in the spirit to this valley with all these dry bones. And he asks him that question, can these bones live? And I think you and I can understand that's just kind of a loaded question. God says, can these bones live? And the answer would be immediately what for all of us? No, they don't live. We ask, can anything change in our world? Can anything get better? Is anything going to happen? God, do you know what's going on? We talked about Jesus' death. We talked about him paying a price that was not his to pay. He died. It was fully 100% established that he was dead. They even put him in a grave. But that wasn't the end of the story. So going way back, I think it's like close to 700 years before Jesus would die and rise from the dead. In Ezekiel 37:3, God says to Ezekiel, son of man, can these bones live? And I answered instead, no. Oh, Lord God, you know. Whoo, that might be something just to hang on to for the rest of your life, right? I don't know, but God, you do. I may not figure out why the things happen around me happen, but God, you know. You know how to make good from bad. You know how to bring life from death. You know how to bring light from darkness. And so he says, okay, I want you to prophesy over these bones. I want you to speak to them. And in Ezekiel 37, 7 through 10, Ezekiel says, so I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a sound. And behold, a rattling, or even like an earthquake. And the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Who needs to hear that God actually gives life to dead things? Who needs to be encouraged with that? Some of you may need to just have the encouragement that I just want to be able to get through this service with the smell of cat urine. Some of you have something much more challenging. You're not sure if God even hears you anymore. You're not sure if anything that's happened in your life has any real purpose. Some of you are like, no, man, I'm good. Can we get on to the encouraging stuff? Yeah, we're talking about resurrection. I got all kinds of encouraging things to talk about, but you're still maybe thinking in your mind, is there anything in my life I need to sing it as well with my soul to, even though it's not well with my soul? I need some help with this. What did Paul just read? It was a good chunk, right, in Mark? Was there a phrase in there that's standing out to you at all about help? And about, well, I'll just ask, anybody? Anybody hear that? Yeah? Come on, Rachel. I believe. Help me with my unbelief. Anybody feel that prayer? Anybody understand it? Would you just take a minute to pray that? God, wherever that is at for us, some of us know exactly where it's at. I believe that my loved ones that are far from you will come back to you because you're faithful and you complete the work that you begin in them. Help me in my unbelief and how I wander in my mind on that sometimes. Help my brothers and sisters as they need help in their unbelief. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, really quick, before it's up on the screen, and thank you, Pastor John, for doing that. What's the answer to the question in Ezekiel 37:3? Can these bones live? Say it again. Through Christ they can. Through Christ not only can they, thank you, by the way, Brother Richard, they do. They all would have known this. These were good Jews. They would have grown up hearing all of these stories. Can these bones live? And the answer is yes. Yes, they can and they do. But you and I are people, and you know what people need? Reminders. Anybody need a reminder today? Anybody set a reminder on their phone? Anybody be in the middle of church and your reminder goes off? If you don't raise your hand, your phone will give you away. I mean, it happens. We need help. And God knows that. Young, old, women, men, mostly men, but women sometimes too. They need reminders. We need reminders. Have you ever been so busy in a day that you're like, I forgot to eat? Yeah. I know, okay, I thought the same thing, right? And yet my kids would be like,
Oh, gosh, we forgot to eat.
I'm like, you didn't forget to play that game for 3 hours? Yeah, there's things I got to accomplish on that. Yeah. You accomplish eating. That's one of those things you need to do. Drinking water. But we need reminders. Oh, yeah. I could have had a V8. Then you could just, like, drink your vegetables while you... Anybody on the V8s? No? Okay. All right. That girl. All right, Joy. I see it. Okay. So we need reminders. Jesus' people need reminders. Turn with me, please, to Luke 24, 21 through 27. Jesus has already risen from the dead, showed himself a couple of times to his people, and he finds himself, Jesus that is, finds himself walking on a road, and he sees a couple of guys. They're on their way to Emmaus. They're walking, and they're talking, and they're upset. And they're like, what's going on? This all seems so crazy. And Jesus comes alongside of them and says, hey, what are you guys talking about? I'm like, oh, gosh, all of what's happening right here in Jerusalem. He goes, oh, yeah, like what things? And they're like, are you new? I mean, Jesus and all this kind of stuff. And they're telling Jesus about Jesus. They didn't recognize it was him. Their eyes weren't open to that. They weren't open to him. I think there's a valuable lesson in this. Anybody get hit with this idea that sometimes Jesus shows up in the middle of your stuff and you're like, where are you? Because you were expecting him to look a particular way. You're expecting your life to be a particular way. I know that I may be the only person that thinks those kind of things, but not likely. We have these moments. I think sometimes when we finally come back to the Lord, we finally come to trust in him, we finally fight through our unbelief, and we think then he's going to just start checking off the list. Oh, here you go. You get your truck back, your girl back, your dog back. It's all good. It's like a country song played in reverse. And yet, maybe not. So Jesus is gracious, and he comes alongside of us. And they're sharing this whole story with them, and we'll pick it up in verse 21 of Luke 24. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. I mean, he died. We hoped he was going to be the one. Yes, and besides all this, it's now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning. And when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Okay, they're telling Jesus about this, right? We thought he was going to be the Messiah. We thought he was coming. We thought it was going to be all that it was supposed to be. And now it's like the third day. And that should mean something to all of us if we're recognizing that Friday happened, but Sunday's coming, right? It keeps going like, oh my goodness. And they're like, and then our women showed up. He wasn't there. They saw a vision of angels. I honestly, that language to me sounds like they were maybe dismissing them just a little bit. They didn't see a vision of angels. What did they see? Angels dressed in white, whiter than the bleach could bleach it, right? It's like, oh my goodness. And they didn't see the Lord. And then check this out. The angel said he was alive. How'd they start this little speech out? We were really hoping he was the one. They would have known that God can make things that are dead alive. Check this out, friends. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women said. But him they did not see. So maybe not. And Jesus jumps in. Oh, foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. You guys, wake up, he says. And he doesn't just leave. He walks with them. He points out, hey, you missed it. And let me explain it to you. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? The bad's going to happen, but good will come. And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, their Bible, he interpreted it to them in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. Jesus had said earlier to the Pharisees and the scribes who were experts in the law, look, you diligently search the scriptures thinking that by the scriptures you'll be saved, but you refuse to come to me, whom they point to. Jesus unpacks it for him. He doesn't hate on them. He says, you're being foolish. You've missed it. Let me unpack it for you again, because people need what? Amen. And so here's a reminder, just really quick. Jesus lives. Not way back then, but today, he's still here right now, alive. And there was this guy that was a Pharisee, and he was brilliant, and he was pretty young, and his name was Saul. And he was a card-carrying Christian killer because he didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah. He believed that he was a blasphemer. He deserved to die. He didn't raise from the dead. Let me shut all the mouths of all the Christians. And he went all over the place to do that. He literally got all the credentials to go and grab Christians out of homes, wherever they were meeting, and put them in jail, torture them, and even some of them were killed. And then he met Jesus, who lives. He was on a different road to Damascus. Jesus sheds a light on him, and he's like, whoa. And Jesus goes, Saul, why are you persecuting me? He goes, I don't know who you are. He says, I'm Jesus. Everything changed. He became Paul. And he tells the world about Jesus after trying to shut down this Jesus talk. Everything changes when Jesus rises from the dead. Paul even wrote most of the New Testament. We're going to just go to Romans 1, 1 through 4. This brilliant one-time Pharisee who was against Jesus the Messiah becomes this 100% evangelist, preacher, tell the world about this Jesus. Because when you know that Jesus lives, and when you know that he makes dry bones alive, and when you know that he helps those who don't understand to understand, and he gives light to the dark and life to the dead, everything changes. Your perspective, your recognition that though this is temporary, it's important and it's valuable, but it's not to be worshipped. And that this isn't just this building. It isn't just your home. It isn't just your health. It's the world you live in. This place is not fixed yet. But Jesus lives. Check it out. Paul says, Paul, a servant, that word doulos means slave, a bond servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. What a sweet title. I'm a servant of the Most High God. I'm called to be an apostle, a messenger. And I'm set apart for the gospel of God, the good news, which he promised beforehand. When did the good news come? Beforehand, before this moment. We know that the gospel came, if we go all the way back to Genesis. Yeah, do you guys remember? Can somebody remind me? What was the gospel? What was the very first gospel? Proto-evangelion. I didn't know that. I had to look up what that meant. First good news. What was it? Yep. Come on now. The offspring of the serpent will strike the offspring of the woman's heel, and the offspring of the woman will crush the serpent's head. And death looked like, oh, somebody got crushed. But it wasn't the devil. Oh, 3 days later, boink, and we're going to really, really celebrate that a bunch in a couple of days or a couple of weeks. But that good news, this is set apart for the good news concerning his son. Excuse me. Let me get back to it. Which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, all the way through the Bible, pointing to him. We've done 16 verses, one story. Going through the whole story of the Bible in 16 verses, or at least passages. So he promised beforehand that this was going to happen through his prophets, through the Holy Scriptures, concerning his son who was descended from David. David was a man. So he descended from man. He was the son of David, according to the flesh, and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead. Jesus Christ, our Lord. Ooh, this is just the intro to Romans. No big deal. Let me just point out to you a couple of things really quick. Son of God, Son of David. 100% man, 100% God. That's so different for us, so weird for us. And yet many of us really dig stories. Made up Marvel type stories. Star Wars. And you're like, oh, now you're starting to meddle. You guys, we're down for these stories. We know they're not real, but boy, we spend so much time and energy on them. And I think because inside of our hearts, we've got this desire for something so much deeper. He's written eternity on our hearts. We love these stories because there's just something that calls our souls to it. That's because we got a God who really did these outstanding, supernatural, superhero things. For us, for his glory, but for our benefit. And so as I have been poring over, spending time, just like many of you in the scriptures, Colossians 1 jumped out to me this week. If you go to Colossians 1, we're just going to read 18 through 20. This Jesus, this is what he's like. This is what he's done. This is what he's come for. This is what he's calling us to. This is what we get in him. Colossians 1, 18 through 20. And he's the head of the body, the church. Who's the head of the body? Not Aaron. Jesus is the head, right? Of the church. Where's the church? Just in this building, right? Where's the church? Yeah, his kingdom's here, but where do you think? Where's the church at? Do you think there's, what do you think, buddy? Say it again. In the belly? That's good. What are you thinking? Like the church is in Jesus' belly? Okay, that's a good thought, man. We'll have to think about that. Here's what's up. The belly, the heart, all the limbs. Jesus is the head of that. You count. You're valuable. You make a difference. God is the head, not you, not me. Good news. Woohoo! Everything's set there. But he calls us. He's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. That in everything he might be preeminent. That he's the big deal. No offense to anybody who really digs these kind of things, but I really don't like when a ministry is named after a person. That's hard for me. I get it that there's these preachers and they're powerful and all this kind of stuff. And one of my favorite teachers is Tony Evans. And he knew that they were going to put his name on a Bible. And it says, the Tony Evans Study Bible. That's difficult for me. It's the Holy Bible. I get it. His preaching's amazing. His teaching's amazing. It's because of God. But preeminent would be, this is a Bible. It's a study Bible. If you know this study Bible, maybe you open up the book and it says, hey, this is according to what stuff God put on Tony Evans' heart. But that's a little hard to fit on the binding, so they just do Tony Evans Study Bible. Or are they? Never mind. I'm just going to mock people, and I don't need to do that. I'm just telling you, when it says preeminent, it's Jesus, it's a big deal. Who rose from the dead? Who gives life to the dead? That's right, we're in church. You can say it one more time. Jesus. There we go. So like yesterday, we had a little work party, and there was some praying, and we heard Jesus, but a couple guys might have said Jesus in a different way. His name's powerful, and people don't even know it. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. Jesus, remember, God-man, 100% God, 100% man, all the fullness of God, pleased to dwell inside of him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. What is he calling us to be? What do you guys think? What's he calling us to be? Followers of him. And if you follow Jesus, to go back into this phrase that they said, if you're following a rabbi, you'll be covered in his dust. That means you're going to look like him. So Jesus rose up, be preeminent, make people Jesus Christ lookalikes. Do you remember this one time in Acts? These guys are being completely raked over the coals for what they've done. And in this case, they healed this beggar. He was jumping and leaping and celebrating and singing because he was paralyzed and now he could walk. And they're like, hey, why did this happen? They're like, hey, you can get mad at us all you want, but it's because of Jesus. And they took note, it says, that these men had been with Jesus. Because they started to look like Jesus. Not his hair, not his height, not his nose, but his character. This started a long time ago, friends. Where did it start that we would look like Jesus? In the beginning, we were made in his image. Everybody. Everybody. So I want to tell you about this Jesus. He rose from the dead that he would make all things new. Our problem with that is that we don't see it happen right now. So all things new, but not all at once. If you join me again, we'll go to 2 Corinthians 5. I'm going to go 17 through 21. I have 20 on the board. I'm going to read through 21. Hey, Josh, you ready to join us, bro? I'm just going to... If I know you're up here, I'll just wind down quicker. Thank you. Oh, you had to bring Oscars up, didn't you? I wasn't even going to talk about it. All right, here we go. He makes all things new, but not all at once. Listen to this, 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 21. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Some of you right now are encouraged by that word. Some of you are hopeful, and yet some of us are doubtful. Some of us don't feel the need. I'm good. I already know I'm a new creation. You don't have to keep reminding me. Okay, maybe not right now. Maybe just put that one in your back pocket. You'll need it later. All of this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself. And he gave us the ministry of reconciliation. I thought it was just for pastors or evangelists or missionaries. Or is that for everybody? Church, who's this ministry of reconciliation for? Bring them to the pastor. He'll do it. Bring the Sunday school teacher. She'll teach them. Bring them to the missionary. They'll do it. Dear God, show us in your power that we are those who have been entrusted with the ministry of reconciliation. All of us. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he was entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. We're taking the king's message to a different kingdom, a different country. God, making his appeal through us, we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Listen, right before we sing this, I want to remind you of a couple of really cool things. Because I live, Jesus said, you also will live in John 14:19. Because I live, you live. You've got this. You've got the ability to reach people. You truly are going to reach people that I can't. You're going to reach people in ways that I can't. I'm excited to be given an opportunity, not just every week, but every day, to testify. When we saw somebody across the street here yesterday that we thought probably threw the rocks through our window, I could have done a much better job of inviting them to love. I said, hey, why don't you come over and we can talk about the building? And they said, what? Let's talk about this dog that's in a car. I said, you come over here. I didn't say, hey, would you like some food? The Ministry of Reconciliation took a back seat for me yesterday to this idea of, you really shouldn't have done that. Good night. It was cleaned up and fixed super quickly. Because Jesus lives, I also live, and I get to live for him. How about you? Let's not keep the good news to ourselves. One more time, I'll say it. Jesus lives, and so do we. So maybe "It Is Well With My Soul" is more than a song. It's a reminder. Even though this world's jacked up, it's well with my soul. God's got it figured out. He's got me here for a purpose, for a reason. He knows where you're at. Look, we need to celebrate life. We need to recognize that death for a person in Christ is the best graduation and the best commencement ever. 3 weeks from now, we're going to celebrate Paul Hawkinson's life. 2 p.m. on 4/23 at Cascade Community Church. We're going to need room because we're going to celebrate big. But what about you? Is it well with your soul when it goes well with your plan? Or is it well with your soul because Jesus lives and he's got it figured out? We'll sing this and we'll go on it. Do you mind dismissing people when you're done singing it? Thank you. God bless you. Jesus loves you. There's tons of questions you can go through. Tuesday night, we'd love to have you come and explore this and go deeper with us. 7 o'clock.